Avail with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen.
Well, man, it looks like I was wrong. We didn't run off half the congregation. And I'm so glad we didn't run off half the congregation, because I have something that I want to share with you that I've been sharing for the last 2 weeks, and we have this week and next week to go on through this. We're looking at a Christian worldview. Everyone sitting here this morning has a worldview of some kind. If you are a born-again Christian, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you should have a Christian worldview, and that Christian worldview should be based on this book. This book. Not what you think, not what you've been told, not what you've been taught. It should be based upon this book, what this book says, and only what this book says. And sometimes people are taught things that are not true or not correct, or they misunderstand what they're being told. And so it distorts their worldview, and they don't really know. The purpose for a worldview is to be able to answer the questions that you have about God. That's the purpose for a worldview. God has given that to us so that we will know who He is, what He expects of us, how we can have a relationship with Him. You see, we would know nothing about God if it wasn't for this book that we call the Bible. It tells us how everything began, and we looked at that. Where did we come from? That was one of the questions we answered with our Christian worldview. And then we answered another question, where are we headed? And sometimes we can't see those things, but they're there. God has given us answers. And so we're going to continue to look at our Christian worldview this morning with regard to what is going on around us now. All of creation was originally good. All of creation was originally good. But now it is corrupt, and that's because of the entrance of sin. You see, when Jesus Christ created this world and the Garden of Eden and all the stars out there and the planets and the universe, everything he created, it said God looked at it and it was good. He saw that it was good. And it was. And then he created man, you and I, in his own image. And that was good. But then, I'll step to this side. I got more men on this side. He created woman. And the devil knew this is the weak link. And it was to Eve that the devil appeared, and he also tempted her to violate what God had told Adam. And she did. And then she offered to Adam, and Adam violated the same thing. And at that point, sin entered into the world. And this perfect creation that God had made suddenly was corrupt. Suddenly things changed. Everything changed. Things that it used to be that lions didn't eat lambs. They ate grass. But that changed. See, everything ate grass. And they ate the plants, because there was no life in the plants other than what God has put there in the way of energy. But there was no souls. There was no spirits. And so all of that changed. And suddenly there were things like mosquitoes, you know. And they were originally created to be good. So all of that changed. And so the whole creation is corrupt today. In Genesis 3, 16 through 19, God explains it and explained it. And we covered this last week, and that was where we had to end last week. So I'm going to pick it up here at this very same passage, and then we'll go on from here. In Genesis 3, 16 through 19, this is God talking to the man and the woman. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Have you ladies really enjoyed bringing forth children? No, it's a little. There was a moderate amount of discomfort in doing that. And okay, all right. This is what God said. That's the penalty for eating the forbidden fruit. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So that was a result of the curse. That was a result of the first sin of Adam and Eve. And since that time, it has simply gotten worse and worse and worse, because man has learned to sin. He has enjoyed sin. He has found so many different ways to sin. And the ways he didn't find, the devil provided. And all of humankind has just sort of degenerated. Now, this situation that we just read about is only temporary. Don't lose hope. This situation that we're talking about, the curse upon the earth, upon the creation, is only temporary. Now, this is what we need to understand as part of our worldview. See, our worldview goes further than just the end of our nose and where we are today and where we are right now. It goes into the future. And it's a very important part of our worldview. And so in Romans 8, 19 through 22, it tells us, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the Son of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. And that would be the devil. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Jesus Christ came and he redeemed your souls. He came, he died on the cross of Calvary. That's part of our worldview, that Jesus actually lived, that he actually lived a sinless life, that he actually was crucified on Thursday, beginning in Thursday morning, and at 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon, he cried, and he gave up his spirit, his soul, and he died. And he was buried that afternoon in the tomb. But on Sunday morning, which we will celebrate next spring, he rose from the dead. God gave him the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead, reestablish his spirit. He rose from the dead, and because we have believed that, God said, you will be saved. Everyone who believes that can be saved. and should be. But that was just our souls. We've still got mosquitoes, folks. There are still gnats. I don't know if they bother you, but I don't like to have gnats in the house. There are still snakes. There are still spiders. There are still a lot of things that are corrupt as a result of the sin of man. But one day when Jesus comes back to destroy all evil and wickedness, that's all going to change. And we, you and I, are going to be living one more time in this earth, on this earth, when it's like the Garden of Eden. Lions will eat grass. Tigers will eat grass. Lambs will play with lion cubs. The Bible tells us this. And so because the Bible says this, this is a part of our world vision. We look forward toward that time when we will reign and rule with Him. And He has promised that for every believer. So if you're a believer this morning, that should be a part of your worldview. Things may get rough on Tuesday. We can't help that. We have no control. You know that? If you vote, you've done your job. If you don't vote, shame on you. But if you vote and things don't go the way you think they should, you're not God. You're not God. God is God. And God determines what we deserve. That's the scary part, isn't it? Because we all know in our hearts what we deserve. And we have experienced all of our lives. Some of us are, you know, getting up there. We've got, you know, 7 or 8 decades behind us. And we know what we deserve, but we have enjoyed the mercy of God up to this point. But our world vision, our Christian world vision, tells us that there will be a time when God will have to take, not revenge, God will have to begin to punish the earth in an effort to bring them to Him. You and I all came to Jesus Christ as saviors, as our Savior, when we were aware of the fact that we were sinners and we had no access to heaven. And we called out because of God's convicting through His Holy Spirit, we called out to Jesus to save us and to forgive our sin, and He did. Here we are this morning. I don't know what lies ahead because I am not a prophet. I am just a preacher trying to share with you the Word of God and to show you what your world vision should be so that you have an understanding in your mind of what lies ahead. The Creator God is not different from the God who provides redemption right now. God is not changing. He never changed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God's not going to change. And so the God that redeemed you and loves you is the same God that is going to decide who rules this nation. He's not a Republican or a Democrat or even an independent. He's God. And He doesn't make mistakes. That's the question for tonight's message is, can God make a mistake? And it's, well, you can shake your head right now, but, you know, sometimes we look at it and think that God maybe did make a mistake, you know, that there was a better way to do this. But we'll find out tonight. That's tonight. So the first two questions that we were looking for was, who are we and where do we come from? Well, we've pretty well answered that. Up to now, we've been dealing with, a porterhouse steak. You want meat in your your messages? Okay, pretty much porterhouse steak up to now. Now we're going to take on half a beef. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Uh-oh. And so we're going to start. We're going to go back to the beginning again, so that we keep reiterating where we are, where we're going. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now, this reference of making us in God's image has nothing to do with physical. None of us look like God. And I'm so glad. We have a beautiful God, okay? And some of you are beautiful. And there's a couple of you that would sort of go into the ugly class, but... but when God said, let us make man in our image, he did not mean physical. He meant spiritual. And he has done that. He has created us with a personality similar to what he has. Our spirit lives in this thing we call a body. Our soul lives in this thing we call a body. And Tim is teaching us in Sunday school about the emotions that are involved. They live here too. And that is the image that God created us in. Not body, but our soul, our spirit, our emotions. Each person, and the entire human race for that matter, are made in the image of God. It does not matter whether a person has Down syndrome when they're born or if they're a mongoloid. They are made in God's image. He gives them spirit, soul, and emotions. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Down syndrome people, but they are so loving. They are so loving, such a blessing to be around a Down syndrome child, because they don't know how to hate. They just know how to love. And that's part of the image of God. So man is the highest life form that God made. He did not make another animal, another thing in his image. Do you see him any place? Let's make this alligator in our image. No. Or how about a hippopotamus? Huh? I sometimes feel like one as I look at myself in the mirror. But anyway, the only one that God made in his image was man. All of the other creation, all of it, every other animal that might be in existence upon this earth, even the dinosaurs, which are no longer here, there may be some someplace, but they're not really here around us anymore. Every other animal that God made was made as an animal, not as a man. It does not have a soul. Man is the only one that has a soul. And we were given control over all these other things in the Garden of Eden. But when sin entered, God put the fear of man in all these other animals. I like kittens. They're cute. I like puppies. You know, they're warm and cuddly. But they grow up. And they become cats and they become dogs. But they don't have a soul. We might love them. and they love us. I believe that our pets actually love us. He gives them that ability, but they don't have a soul. And we have God's word that when they die, and they do, they go back to Him. Their spirit goes back to Him. Now, people say, are there going to be animals in heaven? Okay, now I see heads nodding. How can you prove that? Very good. You've got an answer. You've got a good worldview, okay? A Christian worldview. Yes, we are going to be on horses when we come back with the Lord. And so I'm sure, doesn't it talk about in the millennium, the 1,000-year reign on here on earth, that the lion will lay down with the lamb? And so, folks, God has a plan. And man is not going to interfere with that plan because man is not the equivalent of God. He is not equal to God. He's not as smart as God. He's not as powerful as God. And so man is not going to destroy this earth. God still has some use for it. There's got to be 1,000-year reign of Christ here on the earth. And so man's not going to destroy it. Now there may be things happen that look like, you know, it's going to ruin everything, but it won't. God is God, and He is able. Is there anything too hard for God? No, there is not. So why can't you and I trust Him with our future? Maybe our future for just the next 3 days. Can we do that? No. Some of us can't. Some of us are going to worry. But I trust Him. And I know many of you do. Because He's God. He's your heavenly Father. And He's not going to do anything to hurt you. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, part of our Christian worldview must include, and this is very, very important, part of our worldview of God must include the sovereignty of God. He has a right to do anything that He chooses to do. He has a right to take any one of us home. Yes, it's hard to give up something you love or someone you love. But God has that right, and because He is sovereign, He will not do anything that's bad. Now, we come to one of the more difficult questions of a Christian worldview. And the question is this: what has gone wrong with the world? What has gone wrong with this world? I never would have dreamed we'd be where we are today, politically or economically or any other way. And yet we are. And in order to answer that question, we are going to have to examine our Christian worldview. Now, we are given the ability to make decisions. Every one of you has free will. Every one of you can decide for yourself what you want to do, good, bad, right, wrong. You have the ability to decide that. And if you make a wrong decision, there will be consequences. God has said so in His word. If we will not submit to authority, it says that authority will chasten us, will chastise us. If we are not willing to give our allegiance and our loyalty to God as our Heavenly Father, we will suffer chastening. And I'm afraid we may be coming to that. Because one of the things that God is, he is just. He makes right decisions every time. And we have to be willing to accept. That's why I mentioned the sovereignty of God. He has a right to decide anything that he wants to decide because he is God, and we are not able to tell him what he ought to do. We can plead with him. We can petition him. We can ask him to do what we might want or what our will might want. But he still has the right to do whatever it is he's going to do. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins," that's us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." We were living in this world. We were going along with this world and the things that this world does. In verse 3, it says, "Among whom also we all had our conversation," the way we were acting, "in times past in the lust of our flesh." We were letting our flesh, this body we live in, direct us. And in some areas of our life, we still let it do that. "Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of," there's part of this flesh we haven't talked about yet, our minds. And our mind is a part of this flesh. Our mind thinks thoughts that are not pure thoughts, not good thoughts. And if we dwell on those kind of thoughts, that's going to lead us to those kind of actions. But somewhere here within us is a soul. And Jesus Christ came and died that that soul might have new life. And you have that new life. How many of you regretted coming to church this morning? Huh? Well, after the men sang, you might have some regrets, but how many of you have regretted? I heard laughter. I heard voices that were happy to see each other. I heard people that were glad to be among them. I'm so glad Patsy and Jimmy are able to make it this morning. It's very rare that they can, and it's just such a blessing because they're part of our family. We're all part of our family. Whether you're a member or not, if you attend here, you're part of our family. God has given us love for each other. And we must understand that is part of his command, that we are to love one another. If we get into some of this, we are to love God first. We're to love our neighbor, and that's everybody sitting in here, second. And if we do that, we won't be loving ourselves to the point that we're hurting anybody. In Romans 8, 7, it says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God," the mind that lives in this body is an enemy of God. We might not want to think that way of ourselves, but that's the way it is. That's the way God says it is. "For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." The mind we have has a nature. It's called a sin nature. And everybody sitting here has one. Everybody sitting here has a sin nature. Now, if you listen to that and you obey that, you're going to be in trouble with God. But you also have the Holy Spirit. If you have Jesus Christ living within your heart, if he has forgiven your sin, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and he is there to guide you, to help you avoid sin. When you think with this mind, part of your body,
about sinning, there's that little small voice inside saying, don't do that. In my case, it just says no. And I have a choice at that point. I have free will. When that Holy Spirit says no, I can either obey him or I can exercise my free will and sin against my loving Heavenly Father. And so, folks, we don't have to sin, but sometimes we choose to do so. Now, you say, oh, I've never sinned. I've actually had people tell me that they have never sinned in their entire life. They're in their 60s, 70s. Say, I have never committed a sin. And they actually believed it. Now, they believed it for two reasons. One is, they're blind. Their eyes have been blinded by the devil. And the other reason is a very simple one. They're stupid. But they actually believe they never sinned. And so when the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it means that all of us have sinned. So there is nobody who has not sinned. Even though we're made in the image of God, we still have a sin nature. But here's the blessed truth. Romans 5:17 and 18. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life It reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that would be Adam and Eve, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Folks, that's our worldview. That should be your worldview. You should understand that Jesus Christ has saved you. Jesus Christ came and died for you because Jesus Christ loved you. Now, you can reject it. It's your choice. You have that free will. God made you that way. He didn't do that to trick you. He did that because you had to have that choice. To either accept his will or live under your own will. And if you live under your own will, you're going to be paying a price. I'm going to share one other thing. It's not in my notes, but I the Holy Spirit just moved me to share this with you, an idea. During the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000 years that he reigns here on this earth, there will be people like you and I, like we are right now. Now, we're going to be a little different. We're going to have resurrected bodies, and we're going to be different. But there will be people. There will be couples marrying. They will be producing children. And how many children can you produce in 1,000 years? Let's say you do one every 10 years, okay. My goodness, that's a lot of people. But those people will never have suffered temptation. They will never have had the opportunity to exercise their free will. And so as you're reading in the book of Revelation, it talks about the devil being in hell for 1,000 years chained up. And it says he's released for a season. And he is released to tempt all of those who come through the millennium and have never suffered temptation. And many of them will do the exact same thing that Eve did. And they'll be lost. We need to understand that. You have a choice. Do right, do wrong. And whatever you do is based upon your Christian worldview. Okay, one more morning of it. Next Sunday, we'll finish up a Christian worldview. And I think you'll be pleased with the way it works out. Father, we're so grateful that you have loved us, and Father, you have provided for us and taken care of us. And we would just ask that as we depart right now, get lunch, and come back this evening, that your will be done in each of our lives, your perfect will, that we will not sin, that we will choose to do your will in your way and in your time. Thank you, Father, for giving us your word to help us to understand and to learn all about our Christian worldview. And Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes it possible for us to have such a view. Father, may he be prominent in each of our lives. May we be able to reach out to the people around us who do not know Jesus Christ. May we be able to share him with them. May they believe on him for taking away their sins and covering their sins with his shed blood. And then may they believe that he rose again from the dead. And Father, may that be the story that we project from this place here in North Charleston. May your will be done. May Jesus Christ be glorified. May we follow to the leading of your Holy Spirit, and we will praise you, Father, for all that you're doing in each of our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.